speaking today is Ken Willis. 229 years old yesterday. A long time for a nation to remain free. But as we suggested yesterday, compared with Rome or Greece or China or Egypt, America's just a child. And we noticed a number of things that has caused America to be great. One thing we still have on our coins, "In God We Trust," but it needs to be not only on our coins, it needs to be in our heart. And we suggested yesterday that from the 33rd Psalm, we can see some principles that God's people need to possess to remain free people. We suggested from verse 18 that there needs to be a reverence for God. That verse reads, "But the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and over those who fear Him, who hold Him in awe, who respect and revere Him, who see Him as the Holy One, high and lifted up." And we notice that the word fear means to have reverence, to have respect. But sadly, in some circles today, it's outright blasphemy. God is mocked. Religious people are ridiculed and derided as being some kind of ignoramus. But there needs to be a respect for God, because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ, to the glory of God the Father. And it's still true that we need to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14 and 15. Today we would suggest another principle that's needed to move "In God We Trust" from our coins to our heart. And that's found in verse 21 of the 33rd Psalm. "Our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name." Indeed, there needs to be trust in God's holy name. And America needs to remember Hezekiah's position and Hezekiah's prayer. God's people faced dire circumstances. They were held under siege by King Sennacherib of Assyria. The enemy had already seized all the major fortified cities. The Assyrians were now putting heavy pressure on Jerusalem, the capital city. Each day, one of Sennacherib's generals stood outside the city walls, yelling insults toward Hezekiah, toward God, and toward God's people. When King Hezekiah heard what was going on, he tore his clothes in humility. He covered himself with sackcloth as a sign of both grief and his humility before God. Then Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord to pray. His prayer is found in 2 Kings chapter 19. We read verse 15. "Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. They were not gods, but only of wood and stone, fashioned by men's hands. Verse 19, Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from His hand, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that You alone, O Lord, are God." What a marvelous picture and what a powerful prayer. With the devil beating upon his door, Hezekiah paused to praise the Lord and to magnify His awesome power before asking Him for help. Hezekiah then sent for Isaiah the prophet, hoping that he would have a word from the Lord. And Isaiah did have a word. We find it in Isaiah 37, verse 6 and verse 7. "Isaiah said to them, Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard, those words with which the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. He says, listen, I'm going to put a spirit in him so that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. Well, it wasn't very long after that. Sennacherib mysteriously received word that Babylon was in rebellion. He abandoned his siege against Jerusalem. He headed his army back toward Babylon. But God wasn't finished with him yet. Nobody blasphemes Almighty God and gets away with it for very long. In verse 36 of Isaiah tells us that the angel of the Lord visited the camp of the Assyrians, killed 185,000 in one night. So Sennacherib, the general, returned home defeated. And he was eventually murdered by his own sons. Hezekiah and the people of God won a great victory because they depended upon the Lord. And friends, America needs to do the same. We have two tremendous enemies. One is internal, the other is external. Right now, we are living at a time when our internal enemy is slowly eroding our national righteousness. The United States is number one in violent crimes. United States is number one in abortions. It's number one in divorce. It's number one in illegal drugs. In the industrial world, America is number one in teenage pregnancies. We need to look beyond science and technology. We need to pray for turning to God. We need to pray for spiritual awakening. And as God said through His servant, found in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. What a lesson for those who will stop and think. While human efforts are to be used and opportunities accepted and challenges met, it is true that no one knows and understands or has meaning to his life if he ignores the solid rock, that one who is God and His Son, Jesus Christ. As a people, we need to stop grasping for things that are unstable, anchor our lives in God. He has the destiny in His hands. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Well, there's another principle that's found in the 33rd Psalm that will help us to move in God we trust from our coins into our heart. That's found in verse 18. We've read it. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Then in verse 20, our soul waiteth for Thee, Lord, who is our help and our shield. Verse 21, our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Hope is that third principle that's needed to transfer in God we trust from our coins and our money to our hearts. The word hope means to cast one's cares upon another. In this case, it means that we should throw ourselves upon the unfailing love of God. Many of our national problems can be traced to a lack of hope. People in poverty often turn to crime because they don't see any way out. They've lost hope. People that become depressed turn to drugs, to alcohol, and the ultimate depression of the way out, suicide, because they have no one or no thing to turn to. But friends, the Bible is a book of hope. The gospel is good news. Psalms 43:5 says, Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. The Bible contains hope. It is a book of hope. In Luke 4, verse 18, the Lord said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovering of sight for the blind, the release of the oppressed." So, hope is needed. Hope is so essential. Someone has said hope is oxygen for the soul. Its object is the Lord, and it's in His unfailing love. So we say, happy birthday, America, because you're good, and you're great because you're good, and you're good because you're great. During the dark days of the American Revolution, when the Continental Army had experienced several setbacks, a farmer who lived near the battlefield approached Washington's camp. Suddenly his ears caught an earnest voice raised in prayer. On coming near, this farmer saw that it was the great General George Washington down on his knees in the snow. His cheeks were wet with tears. He was asking for God's assistance and guidance. The farmer stole away, returned home. He said to his family, "It's going to be all right. We're going to win." Well, his wife said, "What makes you think so?" The farmer said, "I heard General Washington pray out in the woods today. Such a fervent prayer as I've never heard. And God will surely hear and answer that kind of praying." Well, the farmer was right. We won our independence from Great Britain. So happy birthday, America, a day late. Keep the candles of your birthday cake of freedom burning bright. Happy birthday, America. May your eagle, the symbol of power and strength and independence, remember that even she is a creation of God. Happy birthday, America. May your citizens forsake their independent spirit enough to look to the Almighty God for inner freedom that only He can give. And happy birthday, America. May the motto found on all your coins and all your currency, "In God We Trust," be emblazed upon the hearts and the minds of America's people. My friend, do you trust in God? Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." He will direct your paths to accept that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John said, "The miracles that were done by Christ are recorded that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that in believing you might have life through His name." If you believe in Christ, turn away from sins. Surrender your life to the Lord. "I tell you nay," Christ says, "but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13, verse 3. And He says, "If you'll confess Me before men, I'll confess you before My Father, which is in heaven." Matthew 10, 32 and 33. You're then a proper candidate to be baptized into Christ. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 16. And Revelation 2, 10, latter part says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive the crown of life." When we will surrender to the Lord, be obedient to His gospel, will be faithful unto death, the grace of God will take us home. If as an erring child of God we've drifted back into sin, we need to repent and pray God, as we're taught in Acts 8, verse 20, down through verse 22. And God will again forgive our sin. Until the next time I come your way, I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon. Your speaker has been Ken Willis.